Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Please remain standing for the opening prayer and reconciliation statement. The prayer reads, Almighty God, we humbly beseech thee to vouchsafe thy blessing upon this council, direct and prosper its deliberations to the advancement of thy glory and the welfare of the people whom we serve. Amen.
Amen.
The reconciliation statement reads, Melton City Council acknowledges that the land it now occupies has a history that began with the Indigenous occupants, the Kulin Nation. Council pays its respects to the Kulin Nation people and their elders and descendants past and present. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, I wish to advise all members of the public present in the gallery that proceedings tonight are governed in accordance with the Melton City Council Meeting Procedure Local Law of 2013. I do call your attention particularly to Clause 9.4, which provides that A, visitors must not interject or take part in the debate, and B, silence must be maintained by members of the public in the gallery at all times. For those who intended to video or audio record proceedings, please be aware that Clause 12.1E prohibits members of the public from operating recording equipment without the prior consent of Council. Additionally, and while I sincerely hope it will not be necessary, Clause 9.5 allows me as the Chair to eject disorderly visitors should they refuse to come to order once called. Similarly, Clause 13.1 details any offences and penalties that may apply under this local law. The meeting procedures have been made available at the front here should you require a copy. Thank you very much for your cooperation in running an orderly meeting in which members of our community feel safe, welcome and able to exercise their right to participate in this important civic function. Thank you. Councillors, I turn your attention to item number 2, apologies and leave of absence. Mr. Peter Bean, do we have any apologies? Thank you. Item number 3, changes to the order of business. Number 4, deputations.
Nil, Madam Mayor.
Number 5, declaration of any pecuniary interest, other interest or conflict of interest of any councillor. Councillors, no? Number 6, adoption and confirmation of minutes of previous meeting. Councillor Ramsey.
Madam Mayor, I move the recommendation that the minutes of the ordinary meeting of Council held on the 27th of August 2013 be confirmed as a true and correct record.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Do I have a councillor to second the motion?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? I therefore declare it carried. Number 7, correspondence inwards.
Nil, Madam Mayor.
Number 8, petitions and joint letters.
Nil.
Number 9, resumption of a debate or other business carried over from a previous meeting. Councillors, at the 23rd of July 2013 Council meeting, Council adopted new or varied terms of reference for 4 advisory committees of Council, as a result of which each require councillors to be appointed to the respective committees. Councillor Ramsey.
Madam Mayor, I rise. I would like to nominate Councillor Renata Cugliari for the Reconciliation Advisory Committee.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Are there any other nominations for this committee? Councillor Cugliari, do you accept the nomination?
Yes, Madam Mayor, I'll accept it.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. If there are no more nominations, I declare Councillor Cugliari to be appointed to the Reconciliation Advisory Committee. Number 2, I call for nominations for the Heritage Advisory Committee. As we know, Councillor Dunner is already a member and also the chair of this committee. Therefore, I need one additional councillor to be appointed.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to nominate Councillor Ramsey for the Heritage Advisory Committee.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. Are there any other nominations, councillors? Councillor Ramsey, do you accept this nomination?
As a substitute, yes.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. I therefore declare Councillor Ramsey to be appointed to the Heritage Advisory Committee as a substitute. Number three, Arts and Culture Advisory Committee. Councillor Ramsay.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to nominate the following councillors: Councillor Bob Turner, Councillor Lara Carley and Councillor Noel Dunn as a substitute to the Arts and Cultural Advisory Committee.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsay. Are there any other nominations for this committee? Councillor Turner, and do you accept the nomination? Councillor Dunn, do you accept the nomination as being a substitute?
I do, thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you.
Mayor, I'd also like to put an addendum to that. If there are no further nominations, I'd also like to nominate Councillor Turner as the chairperson.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsay. Councillor Turner, are you happy with that, with chair?
Yes, I'm happy with that.
Thank you. And I am under the impression that Councillor Carley has nominated via email previous to her taking leave. If there be no more further nominations, I declare Councillor Carley, Councillor Turner as members of the Arts and Culture Advisory Committee, and Councillor Dunn as the substitute, and Councillor Turner being the chairperson of that committee. Number four, Leisure Advisory Committee. Councillor Ramsay.
I'm enjoying this, Madam Mayor, sorry. I'd like to nominate yourself, Councillor Majlik, and also Councillor Turner to this committee, and if there are no further nominations, I'd like to put our Mayor, Councillor Majlik, as the chairperson.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsay. Is there any other nominations, councillors, apart from myself, Councillor Majlik and Councillor Turner? If not, I'm happy to accept the nomination, Councillor, as member and also as chair. Councillor Turner, are you happy for that nomination?
Yes, I'm happy with that nomination.
Thank you. I therefore, if there be no more further nominations, I declare Councillor Majlik a member and also the chairperson, and Councillor Turner to be appointed to the Leisure Advisory Committee. Thank you, councillors. I turn your attention to agenda item number 10, public question time. Thank you, Mr. Tory.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. We have a number of questions submitted for this evening's council meeting. First question is from Yasmin Ruiz. Is Mr. or Ms. Ruiz in the chamber? It is a requirement of the local law for questions to be read and answered verbally at the meeting for the questioner to be in attendance. So, if Ms. Ruiz...
No.
I presume it's a Miss Ruiz, is not in the chamber, a written response will be provided. Next question is from Mr. David O'Connor. Mr. O'Connor is in the chamber. Mr. O'Connor submitted two questions. The first one is, according to the developers, a shopping centre is planned to be located within the new Bloomdale estate at Diggers Rest. It is therefore likely that the proposed centre will adopt the name Bloomdale Shopping Centre, which has the potential to include Bloomdale Tavern, Bloomdale News Agency, Bloomdale Bakery, etc. Given that the majority of commercial property for Diggers Rest will fall within the Bloomdale estate, does Council, from an economic development perspective, envisage the need to incorporate Bloomdale within the suburb naming strategy? And the second element to Mr. O'Connor's question is, the stormwater drainage system at Diggers Rest on many occasions has failed to cope. With the development of new homes expected to triple the population of Diggers Rest, what upgrades are planned and how will these upgrades alleviate the road flooding issues as experienced in recent years? I will refer both those matters to Mr. Luke Shannon, General Manager Planning and Development, for a response.
Thanks, David, for your questions. That's good timing. As you know, David, the Bloomdale Estate commenced development over the last couple of months and the launch was held recently. That will contribute to significant growth within Diggers Rest Township. The Bloomdale Estate does have a commercial facility planned, which will be a shopping centre basically, immediately to the west of Vineyard Road, and that will serve as ultimately the whole township of around about 12,000 people. I'm not aware of any branding that the developer has proposed for that shopping centre because they're not at that stage. Obviously, they're currently developing the residential component of the land. I don't know there's great economic advantage from a council point of view in terms of the naming of that shopping precinct. No doubt from a commercial point of view, the developer would like to have that name carried through. In terms of the suburb naming issue, you're aware that council has a committee established addressing suburb names within the new growth areas. It is actually a requirement under the state government guidelines for suburb naming that suburbs not be named after development estates. So it's highly unlikely that there would be a suburb, for example, called Bloomdale, despite the fact that it is a development in its own right. We will, however, go through a public consultation process as part of that committee process, so there will be a chance for community input. In terms of the second question you ask, and I note you've attached a photograph from somewhere in Diggers Rest, and I think that's in the Mullock Road area, but it's a little bit hard to tell. I accept that there are some drainage issues, particularly in Mullock Road, particularly when there's flash flooding that's occurred, similar to what we've had over the last few days. And largely that comes from water effectively running off the adjoining paddock. In time, as that land is developed, and that because that land adjacent is within the urban growth boundary, so it will be developed for residential purposes, there'll be a series of wetlands established as part of the overall growth of Diggers Rest within the new growth areas, and that will actually address the issue of drainage and will significantly improve the drainage issues that currently exist within the township. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shan. Next question is from Andrula Tuvana. Is Ms. Tuvana in the meeting?
No.
Okay, written response will be provided in respect of that matter. Next question is from Christos Tuvana. Is Christos Tuvana in the meeting? Okay. I'll return then to Andrula Tuvana's question. So Andrula is now in the meeting. Her question is, considering the body corporate that is Melton Council is a statutory body, is the council bound by and compelled to work within Victorian statute and or legislation? Victorian local government is bound to function and exercise the powers conferred by or under the Local Government Act 1989, which is a state act of parliament, and any other act for the peace, order and good government of the municipal district, whether it be a federal or state legislation. Okay. As I said, the next question is from Christos Tuvana. Is Christos Tuvana in the meeting?
Perhaps we can move on, Helen.
I'll come back to that if and when Mr. Tuvana enters the meeting. Next question is from Chris Lynn. And Mr. Lynn is in the meeting. And his question is, is it possible to get the engineering department to come out and assess the walkways and outside furniture for the shops on the corner of Morris Street and Richard Road? There are issues of public safety to be considered. I'll refer this to Luke Shannon, General Manager, Planning and Development.
Thank you, Chris, for your question. In short, yes, we're happy to come out and meet you if appropriate on site to address any issues regarding safety for pedestrians. Thank you.
Okay, next question. I'll revert back to the question from Christos Tuvana, who's now in the meeting. This question reads, out of respect for the residents of your community, if a member of the public is ejected from the gallery and has put in a question, the question should still be read out and responded to as people attend these meetings to hear the answers to people's questions and to hear the questions themselves so they can better understand the issues within their community. This would also act as a deterrent to the chairperson, councillors, mayor and council officers, inciting people or baiting them in order to have them thrown out of the chamber so that they do not have to read out or respond to a question they may not want to respond to in public. This is more so now with the more overt public meeting rule that public questions need to be in by 5 p.m. In response to that, the local law that council recently adopted states that the author of a question must be present in the gallery at the time of considering public questions. That is what the local law says. The local law was advertised and sought public submissions on it, and we received no public submissions that related to that matter in relation to public questions. Provided a person conduct themselves in accordance with the local law, there should be no issue with them being present at the time of reading public questions. This can only be for the betterment of the community in that all questions are read so everyone can better understand the issues within the community. But again, it relies on all members of the gallery being observant of the requirements of proper conduct at council meetings.
Clarification?
The purpose of the clause in the local law is several-fold. Firstly, it's in effect a punitive measure that says if a person doesn't respect everybody else's right to peaceful enjoyment of the proceedings of council, then they forfeit their right to have a question submitted and answered. And secondly, the purpose of the council meeting is to make decisions and consider items that are agendaed. The purpose of the question time is to provide the public the opportunity to ask questions, and I accept that there is community interest in the response to the answers. But if you have a particular question you want to hear the answer to, then I suggest that it is more appropriate that you submit the question, then you're in control of whether you're in the chamber or not.
Thank you.
Well, without entering debate, I think the rest of the gallery would prefer to have one concise answer rather than repetitive answers to the same question 25 times over. You're entitled to your view, which may be different to that, but that's Council's view.
Thank you.
The next question is from Mr. John Bartlett. Is Mr. Bartlett in the gallery? Yes, Mr. Bartlett's present. His question is, is it true that Melton City Council had in excess of $900,000 to hand out to the community? $200,000 plus was given to the combined churches who help families in need with food, to assist with the relocation of their premise, and $700,000 plus was allocated to a tennis club in Caroline Springs. I would like to know how you arrived at this decision, why a tennis club is given more financial priority over a charitable institution. I will ask our Acting General Manager of Community Services, Mr. Adam Boyle, to respond on this subject.
Thank you, Mr. Torrey, and thank you for the question, Mr. Bartlett. For context, for the broader gallery and council was provided with an allocated grant of some $939,000 under the Federal Government's Regional Development Australia Fund and Livable Cities Program. This allocated grant was provided to assist local governments fund the immediate infrastructure needs as identified by local councils. Councils may recall that at its meeting of this year of 9th of July, Council considered project options with regard to use of this allocated fund, and determined to nominate priority of $200,000 towards the relocation of the combined churches caring food bank from its present Mackenzie Street site, with the balance of funds allocated towards the development of a regional tennis facility at the Caroline Springs Town Centre precinct, a project which was nominated in Council's Capital Works program. Specifically in regard to the allocation of $200,000 to the food bank, this was determined via liaison or ongoing liaison with the board of the Melton Combined Churches during and subsequent to their formal budget submission to Council's 2013-14 budget process, which nominated a specific option to Council of an allocated $200,000 to contribute to a partnership approach towards the relocation of the food bank. It was nominated in that budget submission process that the balance of those funds to make up a project of some $400,000 would be identified through contributions and donations via other partners. Thank you, Mr. Torrey.
It's just a clarification. Mr. Boyle, has money actually been directly given to a sports club or to a sports facility?
No, the projects were allocated, or the money was allocated to council towards local infrastructure projects as identified by council, and should just note that that's been submitted to the federal government and yet to have been approved, so no funds have actually been provided to council and no works have commenced to date.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Boyle. Next question is from Christos Tuvana, who again is in the gallery. Question reads, considering council does not accept signed correspondence without a name to it, why do they not abide by their own criteria? Council allegedly served a notice on a resident from an entity claiming to be Macquarie Local Government Lawyers, with no contact details for correspondence, no named person who signed such documents. Could you please provide the full contact details, physical address, postal address, email, phone, fax number and ABN of this elusive entity and the name of the person whose signature appears on the correspondence? Whilst in general terms I wouldn't normally comment on anything that was allegedly the case, I do wish to point out in this case that the notice that I believe is being referred to, because it doesn't specifically refer to which notice it was a notice that was issued in the name of Melton City Council, was signed off by myself with my name under my signature, was accompanied by a letter from Macquarie Lawyers that at the foot of the letter had their physical address, and was signed off by a partner of the firm, albeit that it did not have the name of the partner, it had Macquarie Lawyers. Further to the request that for a copy of the correspondence, that would be a direct breach of privacy. This is a third-party request. You are not the person on whom the notice was served. Therefore, you will not be provided with a copy unless you provide me with a signed authority from the person on whom the notice was served. As I said, the notice was signed by myself with my name under it. The notice was signed by myself with my name appearing under it. I can't be much clearer than that.
Thank you, Mr. Sawyer.
The next question is from Nathan Miles. And Nathan's question is, since the election of the new council, can council please advise residents and ratepayers how much it has cost the council in dollars to fund security and police at public council meetings, including an itemised breakdown of all security costs for public meetings? There's two elements to this, security costs and police costs. So obviously, there are no police costs to council. Council don't direct the police to be at public meetings, nor do we pay for their attendance. That is a matter that's within the jurisdiction of the appropriate officers within Victoria Police. The security officers that attend attend under the terms of the security contract that council has with the security firm, and I'm happy to provide the total figure, but I won't provide an itemised breakdown because that would breach commercial in confidence in the terms of the contract. I do wish to just point out, though, that I have a very serious obligation under the Occupational Health and Safety Act to ensure a safe and healthy work environment. And to do that has been quite a challenge over the past 12 months. And I am taking my obligation under that Act most seriously, because I can be personally liable if I fail to provide a safe and healthy work environment. And I think the resources of this council have been used appropriately to ensure not only the safety of staff, but the safety of councillors and the safety of members of the gallery. Thank you for your question. I will respond in writing, giving you the total cost. Next question is from Andrula Tuvana, who's in the gallery still. The question reads, considering council exists as an instrument of the state under Section 51 of the Commonwealth Constitution of Australia, and under what section of the same constitution does Council believe Parliament has the authority to create laws about environmental issues, including overlays, etc.? In answering this question, keep in mind that abettors in indictable offences are triable as principal offenders, Crimes Act 1958, Section 323. So merely answering the Council just follows the acts made by the State does not mean that Council carries no liability. It merely means that Council, Council officers and individual councillors are willing to follow unconstitutional, unlawful laws knowingly and as such will be held accountable. I'll refer this matter to Mr. Luke Shannon, who's the General Manager of Planning and Development, for a response.
Thank you for the question. The Planning and Environment Act 1987 is a state piece of legislation. Council, in fact, has in place a planning scheme in accordance and as required under the terms of that Act. Unfortunately, I can't comment on the balance of your question as it's unrelated to Council's functions and powers. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Clarification, Mr. Varner.
It's not a direct power under the Constitution, as far as I'm aware, but Council is complying with an act of the State. Council is a creation of the State, and it is not of your decision whether it is lawful or unlawful, and it's a matter clearly outside the jurisdiction of this Council to determine on whether it itself is constitutional or not. And any law is lawful or not. That is clearly outside the authority and the power of this Council.
Mr. Varner, may I just... Mr. Varner, I'm asking for clarification, not for debate.
I'm asking where you claim that the act that Mr. Shannon
referred to... It's an act of the State Parliament of Victoria.
It's an act of the State Parliament. Ms. Tavana, this is no longer clarification, this is debate. Yes, it is. Ms. Tavana, you are out of order. This is your first warning. Ms. Tavana, this is your second warning. I am asking you, please.
I am answering the question. It's an act of the State Parliament.
Mr. Tory. Ms. Tavana, this is your third and final warning. You are out of order. The answer is it's a State Parliament Act. Thank you. This is your third and final warning, Mr. Varner.
The next question is from Mr. Nathan Miles. And a number of months ago, the CCWRA, which is the Cambridge, Coburn and Watts Residents Association Incorporated, raised concerns about the urgent need for more rubbish bins at Navan Park. On busy weekends, rubbish is often strewn throughout the park with bins overflowing. An inspection on Sunday the 15th of September 2013 shows Council is still yet to install extra bins to cater for the rubbish that's generated within the park. When will Council install more rubbish bins? I again refer this to Mr. Luke Shannon, General Manager, Planning and Development.
Thank you for the question, Nathan. I'm not specifically aware of a request from the Association in terms of the additional bins. However, we will review the bins and the number provided within the park because it's obviously a very important park to the community. And if required, we'll install new bins to ensure that there's an appropriate receptacle for litter. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. Next question is from Mr. Mario Casia. Mr. Casia's in the gallery. My question is about the City of Melton, Melton Housing Diversity Strategy, Community Visioning that's happening this week, and also Draft Economic Development Plan 2014-2030, and also the Melton Planning Scheme Review, and forward the report to the Minister for Planning and also the GAA, the Growth Areas Authority, Precinct Structure Plan 1080, that our property will address. All this planning and Environment Act 1987 to amend planning schemes that our land will address social effects and economic effects for good well-being, hope, reward and opportunity. And furthermore, at the last council meeting on the 27th of August, there was an article around Community Safety Committee minutes where General Manager Community Services said that the meeting is about community wellbeing. So I hope that our question about my blue folders to how our land will address good economic and wellbeing opportunities of residents of Melton City and future residents, I think Mr. Shannon and myself and all concerned who's helping so far. So my question with all the above mentioned draft economic development and tourism plan should amend in the Melton planning scheme to the Minister, like our community housing enterprise. Anyone with such diverse economic value of the property can become internal stakeholders of the planning scheme. So leaving some space in all this City of Melton planning scheme review and forward this section 12B bracket 5, the Planning Environment Act. The review be forwarded to the Minister for Planning and also council officers and also the Mayor and councillors. To all this with respect to Mr. Heaney's comments, this land is addressing and helping unemployment. If I may speak, I like to add, like people, cities are often relied upon by others for their success. If a city is productive and functional, it is of great value to those who live around and within it. If a city is inefficient and disorganised, then the reverse tends to be true. Melton City will need such stakeholders like us so we can use our land to address the last paragraph to make Melton City productive and functional. Again, ask Mr. Luke Shannon to respond.
Thank you, Mario. The sentiment of your question is similar to the one raised last meeting, I understand. You'll be aware that the Growth Areas Authority is preparing, in conjunction with Council, a precinct structure plan which will guide the development of all the land in the vicinity of your property, and that will obviously provide guidance as to what potential you have for the development of your land. You referred in your question to the economic development strategy currently on exhibition from Council. We'd certainly encourage you to review that and provide input to that. That submissions for that close at the end of next week. And I think the strategy, again, reinforces Council's commitment to economic growth within the city. But again, I take you back to the current precinct structure plan that's been prepared by the GAA, and it will be the guiding tool as to what potential development can occur in your vicinity. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Mr. Casher, do you have a clarification?
I think so.
Your clarification, Mr. Casher. Excuse me, Mr. Andrew Antonio, you're out of order. That's your first warning.
If I might attempt to respond, to Mr. Kasha's point of clarification, council does not have the power to do whatever it likes in the planning area. It is actually required in a number of areas to get ministerial approval, and a number of things only come into effect when they're signed off by the minister. And that's why, whilst I understand the passion with which you promote the opportunities on your piece of land, until the planning issues are resolved and signed off by the Minister for Planning, council has no power to proceed any further with your applications and your inquiries. That is simply the fact. And the current PSP process that's being undertaken is the process through which the planning issues will be resolved. Consequent to them being resolved and the PSP being adopted for that area, we can have further discussions about what is and what is not permissible.
Mr. Andrew Antonio, that's your second warning. And I don't appreciate that kind of behaviour in this chamber. That's your third warning.
If I could, Madam Mayor, return to the public questions. Next question is from Mr. Michael Matalewski. Mr. Matalewski is in the chamber. Mr. Matalewski asks two questions. The first one is, Cambridge, Coburn and Watts Residents Association wishes to know why Council is not prioritising the duplication of Hume Drive. This year's budget has not included its duplication, despite the fact that it is needed as the area is growing. I might get Mr. Shannon to respond to that question first before I read the second element of the question.
Thanks, Michael, for your question. As you know, Hume Drive is located both within the city of Melton and the adjoining city of Brimbank. We each have a section. In terms of duplication of roads, you'll be aware that we've duplicated some roads, most recently Goulet Road in the Eastern Corridor, which is a high-volume traffic road. Generally, the threshold for the need to duplicate a road is 20,000 vehicles per day, 20,000. Current traffic counts on Hume Drive range between 8,500 and 15,000, depending on where the count's taken, but we have specific locations where counts have been taken, and I'm happy to provide you in the response the exact counts for each of those locations. Clearly, from those numbers, whilst those numbers are growing, it's true over time, the threshold for duplication has not been met, and Council has made the decision at this time that it won't undertake a duplication, but clearly in time the demand will be there, but it's really a question of Council priorities at that time.
The second question from Mr. Matalewski is, the Cambridge, Coburn and Watts Residents Association has recently discovered that Moorabool Council has taken action to resolve their Corella problem by gaining permission from Department of Environment and Primary Industry, DEPI, to allow non-lethal methods to help resolve their Corella problem. Why isn't the Melton City Council using similar methods to resolve the Corella problem in Diggers Rest? Melton Council has often stated in the past the issue was a matter for the Department of Sustainability and Environment, yet Moorabool Council has acted independently of them. Again, I'll seek a response from Mr. Shannon.
Thank you, Michael. As you know, the issue of corallas causing concern within Diggers Rest has been going on for a number of years, on and off, because it's a seasonal-based issue. Council has, on a number of occasions, engaged with the local community. To my knowledge, the last time we did that in a formal sense was about 2 years ago, where we engaged with the Diggers Rest Residents Association and what was then known as the Department of Primary Industries, or DPI. The decision was made at that time by the community-based group that no further action should be taken because there were disparate views within the community about what action, if any, should be taken, so it's not a straightforward issue. I would also question to what extent council actually should be involved in issues like that. I'm not aware of the specific action that Moorabool might have taken, but I'm happy to follow that issue up with them and see how they have tackled it and whether it's met with any success. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. There'd be no more questions.
That's the end of the public
Thank
questions,
you.
Madam Mayor.
Councillors, move on to item number 11, presentation of staff reports. Councillor Turner.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move that items 11.1, 11.2, 11.4, 11.5, 11.6 be moved in block as put.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Do I have a councillor to second that motion?
I'd like to second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? I therefore declare it carried. All those in favour, please raise your hand, councillors. Thank you. Unanimous. Thank you. Councillors, move your attention to item 11.3, Policy Review Panel Meeting, minutes 29th of August 2013, and this will be presented by Mr. Peter Bean, General Manager for Corporate Services. Thank you, Mr. Bean.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. It's with pleasure that I present to the Council this evening the minutes of the Policy Review Panel Meeting held on 29 August 2013. At that particular meeting, Madam Mayor, there was only one item that was considered, which was the draft terms of reference for the Rating Strategy Reference Group. This particular reference group was born out of a consultation process that was undertaken in March this year to evaluate different methods and different models of how we could engage better with our community as far as trying to gain an understanding of what is the most appropriate rating strategy in going forward and trying to do our best to educate our community about the different challenges and barriers the council have in applying the rates modelling that it does that is set out in the Local Government Act 1989. Page 19 of the agenda, which is in part contained within Appendix 1 of this, or Appendix 2, sorry, of this report, sets out two things. One is the background information in regard to the Rating Strategy Reference Group, and the second part of this Appendix 2 is the terms of reference. The purpose of the group is to review Council's current rating strategy and suggest ways to improve it. It will be a reference group which will assist in developing a new rating strategy for consideration of the adoption of a rating strategy as part of the municipal budget in the 2014-15 year. The terms of reference set out how the reference group will be made up, which will be comprised of 10 members of different representative groups across the municipality. Madam Mayor, it is set out as it states there. There will be public advertising that is undertaken in regard to that, and a report will be coming back to Council periodically from the Rating Strategy Review Group for Council's consideration to ensure that it is meeting its requirements. On that basis, Madam Mayor, I'm satisfied that the terms of reference that were considered by the Policy Review Panel are in fact correct and appropriate for Council to consider. So it is with that in mind that on page 14 I put forward the recommendation that one, the unconfirmed minutes of the Policy Review Panel meeting held on 29 August be noted, and two, the Council adopt the recommendations of the committee as detailed in the minutes appended to this report. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Bean. Does any councillor require any further clarification in regards to this agenda item? Do I have a councillor to move the motion?
I'd like to move it. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Do I have a seconder?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Quagliari. Does any councillor oppose the motion? If not, all those in favour, please raise your hand. Thank you, councillors. I therefore declare the motion carried. Moving on to agenda item 11.7, Melton Planning Scheme Amendment C140, site-specific exclusion for industrial and retail uses at 2 to 50 Mescos Road, Rockbank, and presented by Mr. Bob Baggio, Managing Manager for Planning and Development. Councillor Turner.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move an alternate resolution for the Melton Planning Scheme Amendment C140. Site-specific exclusion for industrial and retail uses at 2 to 50 Mescos Road, Rockbank. The resolution being that that Council abandon Amendment C140 to the Melton Planning Scheme pursuant to Section 23 of the Planning and Environmental Act 1987 and advise the proponent all submitters and the Minister for Planning of its decision.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Do I have any councillor with any clarification in regards to this amendment?
Councillor Ramsey. I just think one bit of clarification. With the word abandon, that means scrub this one as is. But if we were looking at another location in the municipality somewhere, a more suitable site, could officers work with the proponents to somehow relocate and create a new submission, if that be the case?
Mr. Baggio.
Through you, Madam Mayor, if the Council resolves to abandon the amendment as proposed, then essentially this amendment goes no further.
Okay.
And if the proponents find an alternative site, then obviously council officers will work with the proponent in terms of if it requires a planning permit, then working through the what's required in terms of the future application, or alternatively, if it requires an amendment to the planning scheme, then obviously working with the proponent to determine whether that particular alternate site is an appropriate site under the policies in the planning scheme.
Councillors, any other further questions in regard to this amendment? Do I have a seconder for the amendment?
I'd like to second that. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? All those in favour, please raise your hand for the amendment motion. Amended. I therefore declare the motion, the amended motion, carried. And Councillor Bob Turner, I think you wanted to speak on this motion.
Yeah, I'd just like to say that the land in this city and adjacent has not been designated at this stage by any PSP. So it's unknown if the adjacent land is going to be residential or industrial at this stage. I feel if it is designated as residential, then this development would be inappropriate in this area.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Does any other councillor want to speak on the amendment motion?
I'd like to thank you, Madam Mayor. Whilst I think this whole idea of recycling concrete and so forth is a fantastic idea, I don't believe that at this point it's deemed appropriate in that location.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. I did want to also speak on the amended motion and why I didn't go for the recommendation. I do also have concerns in regards to the actual proposed development or proposed industrial concrete crushing plant. I do also have concerns that there is actually no PSP in this area at the moment, and I thank a particular resident that had actually come to members of this council and also officers to put forward their view in a very civil manner, and I thank that resident for bringing that to my attention, and also the residents that actually put forward their concerns in regards to this application. So my concern was that there is no PSP at this stage, and to put something of this significance in this area at this stage was I wasn't comfortable with that. So thank you, councillors. If there's no one else that would like to, Councillor Ramsey.
Apart from what's already been stated, I really liked the product that was going to be developed at this site, but the location just wasn't right for a number of reasons, as been mentioned, but also the truck movements. With the Western Highway there, although it would be ideal for the actual proponent, the safety issues that are around those intersections were probably too horrendous for mine. So although I love the product and I love the industry that it would have brought into our municipality, the location was just not right.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Thank you. Moving along to agenda item 11.8, investigation of webcasting, podcasting ordinary council meetings, and this will be presented by Mr. Peter Bean, General Manager for Corporate Services. Thank you, Mr. Bean.
Well, thank you, Madam Mayor. I present to Council this evening this second item, which is in regard to a notice of motion that was brought before us from Councillor Turner regarding the investigation of webcasting and podcasting ordinary council meetings. This notice of motion was considered by Council on the 5th of February of this year. And prior to this motion, Council audio recorded its Council meetings and then would burn the audio files to CD upon request. Monthly demand for CD recordings of the Council meetings was typically less than 3 people. As directed by the motion, Council began podcasting unedited audio of ordinary Council meetings on Council's website. The ordinary Council meeting of March the 5th was the first to have audio files uploaded for community download. Podcasts have since been made available for previous and subsequent meetings. The selection of audio podcasts was made due to the low capital and labour costs required to implement this initiative, as Council was already equipped with the necessary technology. Investigations into the provision of video podcasting, however, using an existing Council video camera, showed the need to invest in a wide-angle lens to capture appropriate field of width and the installation of a stationary tripod that would not be obscured by gallery members. Whilst this was a low-cost option for council, staff believe that this perhaps might not necessarily capture the true reflection of what the council meeting was about, and that would probably need a more significant investment in order to give the council meeting process the due justice it deserves. So, given that the camera would have to be positioned some distance from the councils to include all three chamber tables, there was significant concern over the quality and the value that I've just outlined. Additionally, investigation into webcasts and a live video broadcast of an event transmitted across the internet showed that even entry-level, low-quality productions would have significant overheads. Staff estimated that even with the addition of additional equipment to purchase, it may well cost a $30,000 to $40,000 initial outlay and anything up to $5,000 per annum in labour costs to facilitate this process. Given that there is generally low demand and request for this kind of facility by council, it was believed that it was decided not to proceed with the live webcasting nor video podcasting. Webcasting was previously explored by council in April 2008 and again in November 2009 and was not pursued for similar reasons. On this basis, Madam Mayor, I put to council that Council A, it note the findings of the investigations that I've just set out. B, endorse the decision to continue podcasting the unedited audio of ordinary council meetings on the council website. And C, endorse any future decision to podcast unedited video of ordinary council meetings on the council website. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Bean. Does any councillor require any further clarification in regards to this agenda item? Councillor Turner.
Thank you, Peter. Thanks for that report. I'd just like to ask, we only had three, on an ongoing basis, three people ask for a copy on CD every month.
Through you, Madam Mayor, Councillor Turner, if I can just answer this one. Prior to us council podcasting the council meetings where we had to burn it onto a CD, mm-hmm. typically we had three people per month requesting that copy of the CD. As far as the podcasting is concerned, we generally would not have a person streaming the council meeting each month. We may from time to time have that, but not consistently each month. We do have a small number of people who do access the copy of the council meeting at a time after the council meeting's been held.
Can we tell who's downloading the podcast or if it's been downloaded?
But we can tell. We can give we can give numbers. I can't necessarily specifically answer that, but it is less than 10 each month.
What sort of advertising have we done to let people know, be aware of what's available?
Typically, we haven't advertised this. We did at the time advertise the fact that we were podcasting and it was accessible on the web, but we necessarily haven't done any since that time.
Would it be possible maybe to let people know it's actually there and we might get some use of it?
Certainly, through Madam Mayor, Council, certainly we can.
Thank you, Councillors. Any other questions in regards to this item? Do I have a mover for this motion?
I'd like to move it, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Do I have a councillor to second the
motion? I'd like to second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? All those in favour, please raise your hand. Thank you. I declare the motion carried. Item number 12, reports from delegates appointed by council to other bodies. Councillor Dunn, would you like to start us off?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. On the 29th of September, I attended the policy review panel and the minutes have been attached. 3rd of October, I attended the PDAC committee. On the 4th of October, I attended the Melton Weir committee. I'm a month out.
That's right,
4th of September, the Melton Weir committee, where individual committee members reported feedback from their community regarding their expected use of the weir and input. 12th of September, I attended the Suburb Naming Advisory Committee, and we're still seeking more names after our list, our very big list, was quickly shortlisted. That's it. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Councillor Turner.
I'm going to get it right one of these days. You never know. Attended the Weir Development Advisory Committee along with Councillor Dunn on the 4th of September. It was it's basically building the committee up and getting interaction by all the players. It's coming together well. We had a report back by all the members on what their clubs considered they saw as part of the strategy. Everyone has been given a copy of the 2004 strategy to review, and so that maybe get some extra ideas as well. But all in all, it's moving along well, and we're planning to have a site visit. I think there's going to be a site visit for officers and a site visit for the committee members sometime in October. Yesterday I attended the Strategic Health Forum along with Councillor Ramsey and our officers. This is a really strong committee, the Strategic Health Forum, excuse my teeth. Yesterday the base word report on alcohol and drug reform within the Bathurst Marshall Mountain region. With a report on headspace and the fact that Melton didn't get the funding we were hoping for. It's been gone to other areas, but we're hoping for in the near future. And there's also discussion, of course, on our long-awaited Melton Community Health Centre, which we expect to see a feasibility study done sometime in October. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Councillor Quagliari.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I had a very quiet month for committee meetings, but I had to assess one application for a grant, and I used the Smarty Grant Program to assess the program.
Thank you, Councillor Quagliari. I'd like to just rise and talk about my committees that I've attended. I've actually attended the Western Region Mayors Forum, and our host was the Mayor of Maribyrnong City Council, Councillor Catherine Cumming. Campbell Rose, the CEO of VicTrack, and Ben Needham, Acting General Manager Property of VicTrack, also joined us at this forum. We all discussed our particular issues concerning VicTrack land, but also advocated for the issues that pertain to our municipalities, and I highlighted the need for train stations in Caroline Springs and also in Toolan, and also the major road congestion on Melton Highway now that the Sunbury line has been electrified, and the need to either go over or under rail probably sometime in the future to ease the traffic congestion that will only get worse as the municipality grows. Although funding such programs are out of the scope, they were very receptive and were appreciative that we had outlined our concerns for our regions when they also meet with relevant parliamentarians. And I also attended the Policy Review Panel meeting where we discussed the terms of reference for the Rates Strategy Committee, which have been adopted at today's Council agenda. Thank you. Councillor Ramsey.
Hello. Thank you, Madam Mayor. It has been a quiet couple of weeks for me because I've been largely a carer for my recovering mother, but I have managed to attend a couple of committee meetings on behalf of Council, the first being the Suburb Naming Committee, and I'll back Councillor Dunn. Our list of about 30 names got dwindled down to about half a dozen after everybody else somewhere in Australia has nicked them. So if anyone's got some great ideas, please put them forward because we want either something that reflects our municipality, a name has history links with our municipality, or something that you've just made up that's clever enough to get through the gaps. I was only jesting there, Madam Mayor, sorry. Our PDAC report is in confidential, so I won't go into that, but needless to say, things are looking quite bright for Atherston and our community infrastructure. Lead West, Tennille went in my place, but has came back with the highlights of the meeting, and it's basically that now with the new federal government, the mayors or delegates together with the CEOs are looking at lobbying or getting a hearing with each of the ministers or the relevant ministers to continue, especially in Melton's case, vital community infrastructure for our growing communities. I sat on the public art panel for the Melton Waves, and I just wish the dolphins had got up, but unfortunately that wasn't to be, and what's going to happen is something exciting for the kids in the not-too-distant future. The Strategic Health Forum, as Councillor Turner did mention, was really highlighted the fact that we're on the right track because there too, as far as health goes, Melton's positioning itself to be in the best spot to advocate at the up-and-coming state election in the next 12 months. Alcohol and drug reform are high on the agenda. Headspace for mental health is high on the agenda, and it's good that it is in line with our municipal public health and wellbeing plan. The only other thing I wanted to highlight was the stats that are going to tomorrow's RoadSafe Westgate meeting. And I knew our inspector would be here. It's quite impressive and it's quite sad at the same time. We're still one under in fatalities. We're looking at Melton's stats as far as fatalities. We're at a total of two because some of, we can only take the fatalities that are actually on the roads. Serious injuries are at 43. Minor injuries are at 80. Total fatality and injuries are 125 for Melton. In comparison to the other municipalities at RoadSafe Westgate, where we're on par, we're on the lesser side, but it's still a sad indictment. There'd been 72 impoundments, 35 disqualified or 35 of which were caught with disqualified or suspended licences, 10 exceeding the speed limit by 45 kilometres per hour, 2 exceeding the speed limit by 70 kilometres per hour, 65 male drivers, 7 female drivers, 25 that were on their P's, 37 fully licensed drivers, and 43 out of the 72 resided within our Melton PSA. That is something that we need to turn some of those figures around. The police are doing a formidable job, but we need to still be mindful that our licences are a privilege, not a right. That's it, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Councillor Borg. Moving on to agenda item number 13, councillor representations and acknowledgements. 13.1, public address by each councillor. I'll probably start this evening's proceedings with this. Myself and some of the staff from Council's Youth Services met with a delegation from the Shire of Roebourne who came down from Western Australia for a tour of Council's Youth and Community Facility in Taylor's Hill. They were impressed with Council's facility and with all the programs that this Council undertakes for our youth. They will be making recommendations in their report to implement some of the same programs and building a similar facility for their region. I attended also a lapathon, I actually didn't join in with the lapathon, but I was there to officiate the lapathon for Christ the Priest Primary School in Caroline Springs. Melton City Council, we were one of the sponsors for this fundraiser event that the Leisure Services team helped organise. And it's just another way that Council is advocating and promoting our children to be fit and healthy through activities such as running and walking. I also attended the Melton Botanic Gardens 10th anniversary with Deputy Mayor and Councillor Ramsey, and what a great achievement for the Friends of the Melton Botanic Gardens. The continuous hard work and dedication to the Botanic Gardens is truly a legacy for this community, and a special mention to John, who is in the chamber today, President of the FMBG, and Jill for organising the fantastic event. And to all committee and general members, you should be very, very proud of your achievements, as we are in Council. I also attended Council's Sports Club Forum, where the 4th Annual Lydia Lucilla Youth Sports Scholarship and Encouragement Award was awarded to Emily O'Rourke, Councillor Ramsey, please correct me if I'm wrong, who is actually a swimmer. We also had a special guest speaker, world and Australian champion blind powerlifter Lepeka Nanai, and it was a great evening and all were inspired by the great talent within our municipality regarding sports achievements. And this morning I attended the Atherston City of Melton Business Breakfast with special guest Mark Boris with some of my fellow councillors, and Mr. Boris gave a great talk on economic development and shared some inspiring and encouraging words on how he achieved his great success in his building business empire. Thank you, councillors. Councillor Dunn.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I actually attended quite a few different events, but I'll only speak on a few of them because I attended a few along with my fellow councillors. On the 7th of, now that will be September, I attended a dry stone wall workshop that's actually run by the, or it's the second year it's been run, and it was the initiative of the council's heritage advisor. It's quite a great thing to attend, so I would advise anyone that would like to do it next year. It's always on. I also attended a tree planting day in Caroline Springs on the same day, and it would be great if we could have another environmental group like the Friends of Botanic Gardens to come out of this initiative. Last night I attended the Ballarat Football and Netball League Henderson Medal, and Melton did actually quite well, picking up a few awards in both the football and the netball, and I send congratulations to those winners. The guest speaker was Jason McCartney, who was a former North Melbourne and Collingwood football player and also a Bali bombing survivor, and his speech certainly brought it home, how important it is to have a strong team beside you and around you, and that such a devastating event makes one realise the important things in life, how one can achieve one's goals if you fight hard enough and believe in yourself. Truly inspirational as he was, very badly burnt, yet went out onto the field still to play the game, his passionate love while he's still suffering with the burns. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Councillor Cugliari.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd like to just highlight a meeting that I attended on Monday the 9th of September, which was the first local area traffic management study for Diggers Rest, known as LATEM. The meeting was run by Traffics Group, who are comprised of traffic engineers and traffic planners. This study process investigates traffic conditions in local streets and areas. It also involves the community in identifying issues and developing solutions. It considers the impacts of traffic management on an area-wide basis, and it aims to improve the residential environment and identifies locations to refer police for enforcement. We had a very good turnout of representatives from community groups and residents of Diggers Rest.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. Councillor Turner.
Yes, Madam Mayor. It's been a short month, but it's been a busy one. I'll just put a couple of things down. Friends Botanical Gardens, which you've already spoken about, was a great day on Sunday. I attended the Melton Bowling Club's start of their season on Sunday afternoon. We were late, but they forgave us in the end, I think. So that was a really good afternoon. Last night was the sports night for the Sport Awards for Lady Lucilla Sporting Awards, and also it was good to see some of the community members in these clubs getting awards as well. It was really nice to see them being awarded for all the work they do. And most of them wouldn't want an award, but it's just good to see them getting something. Probably one of the highlights of the month was I attended the Kanjang Secondary School Deb. As I know, a few of the other councillors and yourself have attended Debs this month, and it was just really great to see some of the young kids from Melton, and I was surprised, I knew quite a few of them, coming down that stair and dancing around the floor. It was a really good night. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Councillor Ramsey.
Thanks, Madam. For this, I don't want to sound repetitive, but can I also put out my congratulations to the Friends of Botanical Gardens for their 10 years. Both John and Jill Bentley and the committee did an incredible job on Sunday, sorry, I don't even know what day it is today. And the fact that they include community partners from the Country Women's Association through to Home Hardware and the Lions, the radio station, the Wind Symphony Orchestra, they were all there. It was a great day, and the skies, someone upstairs was really good to you that day. Also, the Melton Bowling Club, yes, we were late, and yes, they were a little bit frustrated, but it's funny when two community groups plan on the same day. I never get in a dress, Madam Mayor, but when Mark Boris comes to town, I got into a dress. 320, a sellout crowd for the business breakfast this morning. It actually put us on the map. It was great to see industry leaders and business leaders from everywhere come out. And if that's the calibre of economic development that Melton leads, well, then our future's bright. Well done.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Councillor Borg. Okay. Item number 13.2, public record of Assembly of Councillors in accordance with Section 80A1 of the Local Government Act 1989. Councillors, do I have a mover for the recommendation?
Sorry, I'm being slacky, Madam Mayor. I forgot. I would like to move the record of Assembly of Councillors, the 3rd of September and the 10th of September, be received and noted.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsay. Do I have a councillor to second the motion?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Cagliari. Do I have a councillor who opposes the motion? All those in favour, please raise your hand. Thank you, councillors. I declare the motion carried. Moving along to notices of motion. 14.1, notice of motion 366, myself, Councillor Maidlick, National Broadband Network. And councillors, I do actually have to move a revised and amended motion due to the recent elections and change of government. So the new notice of motion number 366 reads that Council 1 write to the Minister of Communications to advocate for the extension and prioritisation of the national broadband network to areas within the Melton City Municipality currently suffering from substandard wired internet connection speed. Number 2, request that special attention be given to key areas within the municipality, such as Burnside and Caroline Springs, in which existing internet infrastructure is inadequate. Number 3, advocate for the establishment of minimum acceptable wired broadband speed to the premises, upload and download from internet service providers. And 4, propose the establishment of a wireless connection subsidy or wireless cost reduction scheme for communities affected by substandard wide internet access. Thank you, councillors. Do I have a councillor to second the motion?
I'll second the motion, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Cleary. Do I have any councillor who requires any further clarification in regards to this amendment? Thank you, Councillor Borg.
I've got some clarification for this one. Given that there has been a change in government, and just from what I've read in terms of what their priorities are and what they're actually looking at, from my understanding, and I'm not sure who I put this to, Mr. Tory? Yep, or Mr. Shannon. Is it still the understanding that this here, the position of the council will be to advocate for the extension prioritisation, will that be that this council's position is to stick by the NBN even though that the Prime Minister-elect has hired someone to do a revaluation of the system and possibly change the way that it looks, perhaps the NBN's not around. I just don't know whether there needs to be some other clarification, whether we still stick by the NBN or that as an inclusion to the new government and the proposed measures that they're taking in, that they actually take in the Mayor's motion.
Just to attempt to answer that through you, Madam Mayor, Councillor Bourke, it is a fairly fluid space at the moment. So I guess, excuse me, the purpose of our correspondence will... purpose of our correspondence will be to seek direction from the government, raising the issues that are outlined in the notice of motion, and trying to get some clarity around what the process is going to be for unscrambling the egg, I guess, and particularly given that sections of Melton are already committed, works have commenced. What's going to happen with the balance is fairly unclear. Hard question to answer, really.
And just for further clarification, councillors, this notice of motion actually did come across as one of a budget item that was submitted, and that's why it's actually got, in particular, Burnside and Caroline Springs, because this resident was actually from that area. I'm not sure if anyone remembers that budget submission, and they had asked me as a resident to put forward this notice of motion. So I understand that it's very unclear as to the future of the NBN, but it was in relation to a budget item and a further request from council. Well, they came to one of their ward councillors, being me, and asked if this letter can be written. So I do understand the uncertainty at this point, but that's just a little bit further clarification as to why this notice of motion has come forward. So, councillors, any other further clarification in regards to this matter? Do I have a seconder for this motion?
Councillor Cagliari,
seconded. Sorry, Councillor Cagliari, you've seconded
I've already seconded.
Thank you, that's right. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? All those in favour, please raise your hand. I therefore declare the motion, amended motion carried. Item number 15, councillors' questions without notice. Councillors, are there any questions?
Actually, Madam Mayor, I actually do.
Councillor Dunn.
It's probably directed to Luke Shannon. Just a question regarding the notion of motion 356 regarding the relocation of the bus stop on the Western Highway in Rockbank that was carried on the 9th of April. I'm just wondering if you could give me an update on that, please.
Yes, happy to do so through you, Madam Mayor. Myself and the Engineering Services Manager have corresponded and in fact met with two senior representatives from the Department of Transport. The purpose of that specific meeting we had was twofold. Firstly, it was to talk about their intended review of the bus areas across the whole municipality, more particularly focusing on the new growth areas and trying to be ahead of the growth. We have specifically raised with them two issues in relation to the existing service, one related to the unfortunate arrangements at Rockbank that you allude to, which is the bus stops actually on the highway, which is a very unacceptable proposition. And second was the lack of a public bus service to Ainsbury. We had a sympathetic hearing. The main gentleman was non-committal, as I expected would be the case. However, I've since written to him, again putting councillor's position and asking for a formal response from the department as to how they might address both of those two issues in the immediate future. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Any other questions, councillors, without notice? No. Moving on to item number 16, motions without notice. Councillor Dunn.
Sorry, Madam Mayor. I guess I've got a motion without notice. Noting that Council received written advice from Andrew Ellsbury, MLC, that Mr Hunt, the then Shadow Minister for Climate Action, Environment and Heritage, was happy to have a meeting with meeting to discuss the issue of the Western Grassland Reserve when the Abbott Coalition Government was elected, the Council now write to Mr Hunt and Mr Ellsbury seeking such a meeting to raise the issue of current unsatisfactory mechanisms for compensation to the property owners.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Councillors, any other motions without notice? Moving on to number 17, urgent business. Councillors, any urgent business? Moving on to item number 18, confidential business. Councillors, can I have a councillor to move a procedural motion, please? Councillor Turner.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move the procedural motion that pursuant to Section 89, Section 2 of the Local Government Act 1989, the meeting be closed to the public to consider the following reports that are considered confidential for the reasons indicated.
Thank you, Councillor Turner, and those being 18.1, 18.2 and 18.3. Councillors, do I have a seconder for this procedural motion?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Cagliari. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? All those in favour, please raise your hand. All those... Councillors, I declare the motion carried. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for your attention. Thank you for coming tonight. And please help yourself to some tea and coffee and have a good evening. Thank you.